Well, good to see everybody again. We're still talking about family. We're still talking, and we're still in 1 Corinthians 13. And we made it through part of it, and we're going to see if we can. I don't know if I can do it or not, but we're going to try to bundle some today because I don't know if I can. I'm bleeding to death just getting beat up over this series. So we're going to jump right in, and we're at 1 Corinthians 13. We made it through verse 4 last time. So we have verse 5 today, and the NIV says this. It does not, and they're talking about love. You know, love is patient, love is kind. That's what we're in here. So just to get the context, in case you don't know this or are visiting with us this morning, this chapter is the love chapter. It starts out, you know, love is patient, love is kind, does not boast, isn't it? Whatever. So this section today that we're on is the first part of verse 5. It says, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered. I don't know if we can, but we're going to try to cover all those quick today, so it might be less painful because it'll go faster. So pretty much, love is not rude, selfish, or grumpy. Rude, selfish, or grumpy. So my wife looked at me last night and said, so you're just going to talk about yourself? She didn't say that. She could have said that. I could just stand up here and just give you stories, and they would be great ideas of what not to do. Love is not rude, selfish, or grouchy, irritable. So the first one, love is not rude. Let's have some fun. We're going to get our toes stepped on, so let's start with some fun today. Some greetings from around the world. So we're going to talk about just some cultural things for just a second, just because it's kind of fun. If you were in Tibet and you wanted to greet someone in Tibet, one way that you could do that is you could stick out your tongue at them. True story. Go ahead, greet your neighbor if you want. Not to your brother, though. It's banned between brothers and sisters. It all began with monks who would stick out their tongues to show that they came in peace, that they weren't the reincarnation of the cruel 9th century king known for having a black tongue. So that's kind of how it started. And so if you greet one another in Tibet, there's possibly you could be sticking out yourself. You go to Tibet, they're sticking out their tongue at you. Don't punch them in the face because they're just trying to be nice. If you want to go to Yemen or Qatar or Oman, you bring your nose in for a few friendly taps. We'll skip that one maybe today. Tap noses. But it's very important that you don't sniff. Sniffing is not, you tap noses, but you don't sniff. Now, this is in parts of France and Italy, Portugal, Latin America, and some different places. You do the air kiss. So you kind of kiss cheeks, but you don't actually kiss because that would be considered rude. So you do the kind of the air kiss kind of thing. And there's all kinds of, I mean, it's really tricky. Some is on one side, some is on one side, then the other side. There's all the way up to four. And each country is a little bit different. So if you've been practicing your air kisses, I mean, make sure you got the right country because you could be getting in trouble. Or if you're going to New Zealand, Hongi is a practice there, and it's where you rub together the forehead and the nose in something what's called sharing of breath. I'm gonna not do that today. In Zimbabwe and Mozambique, they clap their hands. So the first person claps once, the second person claps twice, but men, listen up, men, you have to clap with your palms and your fingers aligned. But ladies, don't you dare try that because that's not acceptable. You clap with your hands sideways. It's a big deal, right? See, Tammy's got it. She's good. Malaysia, you put your hand on your heart, and then you take the other person's hand, and then you release their hand, then you put your own hands to your chest and put them on your heart, and that's kind of like, I have you in my heart or whatever, and that's one of the greetings there. elders. You always greet the elders first in Asia and Africa. If you're in Greenland, or I've never even heard of this country, Tuvalu. If you're in Greenland or Tuvalu, there's a tradition of placing your nose and your upper lip against someone's cheek or forehead, and then sniffing. Is that it? Does someone want to demonstrate so we can get a clear picture of this morning? You put your upper lip and your nose against someone's cheek or forehead, and then you sniff. In the other one, you don't sniff. So make sure you know which nose press you're doing, because one is a sniffer and one is not a sniffer. And then, of course, there's bowing. All of this is just to tell you what you guys already have. We just want to have some fun with that. But you know that when you're in different countries, there's different cultures. And even within our own country, there's different cultures. And this is acceptable. Tell you what, the first time I met someone from the South, really from the South, and didn't say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You better be saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am when you're down there, because that's how you roll. I mean, if a stranger slap your head if you don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're of a certain age and you're not saying, like, it's fair game. There's no abuse. It's fair game. Anyone can bat someone on the head for not saying yes, sir, yes. Like, it's acceptable. Sean is like, yep, I've been there. I know, and it's true. You just like. There's different things in different cultures that is considered acceptable and considered not acceptable. Things that we would think is just bizarre is common practice for them. So that's not essentially what the Bible is necessarily talking about. Wanted to have a little bit of fun of that. So tell me, what do you think is rude? What's rude? That's not a trick question. What's rude? What comes to your mind when I'm talking about, don't be rude? Rolling your eyes. You must be a mother. What's rude? What else is rude? Not saying please and thank you is rude. What else is rude? Loud. I was waiting for that one. I'm like, someone's gonna say it loud. All the boys are like, I guess some kind of a badge of honor for the boys, and everyone else is like. You guys. Somebody else, what is rude?
Passing gas.
It is very true. Yep.
Cutting in front of people line.
Oh, don't you just, like, what are you doing? Yeah, line cutters. I think that should be like the South. I think you should be able to beam them over the head with a bat. Like, that is just, that's rude. Don't do it.
Parking spot stealers.
Ho, ho, ho. Parking spot stealers. It's a true story. I kind of get annoyed with that. I don't go out in public a lot because my wife doesn't let me. We get in trouble. But one Christmas, I was up in Fargo, and this is kind of when Fargo was just getting insane at Christmas time. And if you haven't been up there lately, it's just, wow, it's a zoo. And so all these people are just cutthroat, and they're trying to get these parking spots, and they're nasty, and it's like walking out with a sack of raw meat and a bunch of hyenas around. When you dangle your keys, man, and they're just all. So my wife's in shopping, and I took my keys out, and I just sat in my car with the lights on for about 20 minutes. Marty's like, "You didn't." I said, "I did." There was lots of upset people behind me, but I didn't say I was leaving. My wife's inside. I'm just hanging out here in the car. And they're all... They'd finally get mad. Drive away. And people get a little intense. But the Bible talks about... How bizarre is it? I mean, if you really wanted to stop and think about it, I mean, the list of things that are in the Bible... I mean, we're talking about huge issues. Issues of life and death and eternity and, I mean, hell and torment and demonic things and healings and raising people from the dead. And it just almost seems like, okay, we're going to talk about rudeness? Do you know what I mean? Like, really? Like, of all the things that we could be talking about, does it even matter? Well, it made it in the Bible. So look at somebody, say, yeah, it matters. So I get it. I get if you're just having any apprehension about that, going, really? That's what we're going to preach on? Because there's so many other things. And I get it. There's other huge issues. But yet Paul took the time to say, you know what? And we set this all up for weeks beforehand, that love is, I mean, that's where it's at. It sums up all, love the Lord God with all your heart and soul, mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all the commandments. That's everything that you need. If you're walking in love, that's what you need to be doing. The problem lies in our faulty definition of what love is. And that's why we're spending time here. And guess what one made it in the list? Rudeness. Made it in this list of if you want to walk in genuine agape love and you're being rude, chances are you're not being scriptural. The love that you say that you have is not really true, genuine, biblical love. Some different versions of the Bible say it like this. It's not rude. It does not dishonor of. I love that one. It does not dishonor of anything that would dishonor someone. Love doesn't do that. It does not act unbecomingly, and love does not act. Love does not act improperly. Love does not act improperly. Rudeness is the same as being improper. Rudeness is being willingly offensive. Willingly offensive. So it's not really going to another. That is rude if you go to another culture and you're like, fist bump, and they want to give you a nose rub, right? Like, you're being rude, but you're also ignorant of it. Like, you're not intentionally being rude. What this is talking about is a different kind of rudeness. It's talking about, I kind of came up with a rhyme this morning because I was just like filtering through what are we really talking about this? It's this: I'm aware, and I don't care. I'm aware, and I don't care. That offends you? I'm aware, and I don't care. Oh, that's annoying? I'm aware, and I don't care. Oh, you think that's over the top? I'm aware, and I don't care. Now, when you say it like that, does that sound like love? I don't know how to pose. What rudeness is this. It's saying, I'm aware and I don't care. I know that bothers you. I know that's terrible. I know it's annoying. But you know what? I know that and I don't care. It's this idea of I'm kind of the most important one in the room here, and go ahead and try to make me stop it. Right? It reeks of arrogance. And love is not that. And it's being willingly offensive. And that doesn't mean that it's your main priority to offend someone, but you're a willing participant in it. That's what rudeness is. The guy that cuts in front of line, why does the guy that cuts into the front of the line when there's 40 people there, why does he cut in the front of the line? Well, sure, he's rude, but what's his thought process? What's he thinking? Hey, you're right. We all know that, and it just gets our dander up, doesn't it? You're just like, or it makes us have pity for, like, you are pitiful. Like, why would you do that? Because he's saying, what I've got to be doing or where I've got to be going or somehow my life is way more important than you peons here. And that's what rudeness does. Now, I hope if someone's challenged you on being rude, I hope you're going, gosh, I didn't really mean to be doing that. This is all meant not to beat us up so that we're just black and blue and bloody. It's meant for us to walk in real, genuine love. And so if there's areas in our life that we're hitting these hard, but at the same time, it's to make us aware. Boy, I didn't know that the Bible would consider that to be unloving. And maybe helping us so that a lost and dying world out there can see real love. And they can really know the Savior. Love never acts out of its place or character. It observes due decorum and good manners, is never rude, bearish, or brutish. Curtis, has anyone ever called you brutish? I'm guessing probably not, but maybe they should. I'm just kidding. Kidding. Any of you that have known me for most of my life are chuckling silently to yourself right now that Kirk is up here preaching on manners. Because if there's a book of etiquette, I'm going to write the other book. Right? That's just not what I've done in my life. And I tell you what, this challenged me a little bit when I was preparing this message. I'm like, golly, maybe some of the stuff that I thought was just kind of, well, that's just me or just fun or whatever. Maybe I was being rude. And I hope you guys get challenged too, because if I'm going to suffer, you're going to suffer. Albert Barnes says, there may be included in the word also this idea that love would prevent anything that would be a violation of decency or delicacy. I'm going to read this again because this is really good. So in this definition of not being rude, he's saying that there might be included in this word also the idea that true love, real love, it would prevent anything. It would keep myself from doing anything that would violate me as a person being a decent person or decent to you. Or it would violate it wouldn't violate delicacy. There are some matters that are delicate. And some people go in like a bull in a china shop, and they're just going to say what they're going to say. Rotten is blurted right. You know what I mean? And there's times when, well, I can say what I want. Well, you can, but you can't say that you're loving besides. You're right. You can say what you want, but you can't say I'm loving and then say what you want. When someone starts with, no offense, but I'm just kidding. I don't know where that phrase injected itself, and I know what we're trying to do, and we're trying to do something good, but you're basically just saying, I want to be rude right now, and so I'm not smart enough to come up with something that's a little more creative and tactful, so I'm just going to say it, and you don't get to get offended. So that was just kind of comic relief, but I'm sure I say it. Rudeness, in this sense, refers to words or actions that are offensive or hurtful or an embarrassment to others. Gosh. Everyone just sigh a little sigh of, oh man. The opposite of rudeness is to be courteous, mannerly, decent, civil, and respectful. So we're talking about, what is real love? What does agape love look like? It's a love that sacrifices. It's a love that says, you're more important than I am. It's a love that says, your needs matter more than my needs. And that is defined scripturally. We're taking this right out of the Word of God. And so, of course, you're going to see rudeness fall right into that category. The opposite of rudeness is to be courteous. What's something that's courteous? Just off the top of your head. Shauna said one earlier, is just saying please and thank you. That's just, we would call it common courtesy, you know, just probably just the opposite of all the stuff we already listed. You know, not cutting in line. You know, letting someone else go first. Helping someone across the street. You know, that's the opposite. And the more we're investing in our lives in those kind of things, and I would have told you not that long ago that those kind of things are nice, but they don't really matter much in the kingdom of God. I don't know that I would say that anymore. I think there is some of these character issues, right? There's some of these character issues that present themselves as little things, and we don't consider them as that big of a deal. And yet Christ is saying, grow up, right? We want to mature. We want to be made in the image of Christ. Rude people use coarse words that rub their listeners the wrong way. Listen to this. This is what I was just saying. They pride themselves in being without errors, but they are insensitive in the timing and tone of their conversations. Do you know what being without errors means? It means I'm not going to say a bunch of fluffy words. I'm just going to tell. I'm going to say like it is. I'm not going to say if you know one of those people. Are you one of those people? Like, I think all of us at one time or another are one of those people. I'm just going to tell you like it is, and that's just who I am. I'm going to tell you like it is. And what this is saying is, They kind of take pride in that they're bold in some way. Courage is one thing. Rudeness is another thing. The boldness that you see, if you have courage and you're dumb or ignorant, then it comes off as brashness. If you're saying that you're courageous and you want to just say stuff, that's rudeness. If you have courage and can say what you need to say, but you're not stupid about it, you take the time to learn a little bit about human nature, you take the time to learn a little bit about the other person, you take the time to learn, how can I phrase this in a way that your heart will hear what I'm saying and I can still be bold. You see what I mean? Just having courage to blurt stuff out is not commendable. And I'm just going to say that. And you can disagree with that. And if you disagree with that, I'm going to hear about it because you got courage to tell me what you think about it. And that's okay. I'm just going to say we can be bold, and sometimes there are things that are going to, like, they're just going to hurt. There's going to be things that we have to say. I mean, there's, in our relationships, there's going to be deep issues that get talked about. There's going to be offense that comes. There's going to be, hey, listen, when you did that the other day, this really offended me. How can we work through this? But you see how that's different than, hey, you're such a dork, you offended me the other day, right? There's a difference in spirit and attitude and heart behind it. So these guys are just proud that they can just be blurting stuff out, but they don't worry about the timing or the tone. Let's just, this was not in my notes, but holy cow, guys. Relationships 101 here. If you guys are burning through friends like firecrackers at 4th of July, just hold on a second. You might have a problem with timing and tone. If you got a marriage that's like the Hatfield and McCoy, right? Timing and tone. Get smarter, okay? Just, you can say the exact same thing in a different way and at a different time. What here? You have to answer this question. What's more important in this moment? When I've got something burning in my heart that I need to tell you, husband or wife or friend, what's more important? Me getting it off my chest or you hearing what I have to say? Let's lay that out there. You got to answer that question. That's not for me to answer. It's for me to answer in my relationships, but you got to answer that in your relationships. And a lot of us, we say things to feel better, not to heal relationships. Not a lot of amens on that one, but I know it's true. It doesn't matter. I got courage. I'll just blurt it right out there. Half of the time, we're saying things to get it off our chest, and I can feel better. Does that sound like love? Well, when you put it like that, it doesn't. But you don't know. You know what? It doesn't matter. The situation is the same. They're not going to hear what you have to say if you're not concerned with timing and tone. You take just a little bit, just a couple minutes and say, all right, what did he just, you know, did he just walk in the door and, you know, all the cattle were just out and, you know, and then the pickup wouldn't start and, you know, then he, you know, kicked the tire and broke half his foot off, you know, like, is now when I'm going to be yelling at him when to pick up his underwear off the floor? Guess how that conversation's going to go. He's going to blow up and see, you just want to start a fight all the time. Please. Timing and tone can save more relationships because you've got to answer the question. Do I just want to get this off my chest or do I want to strengthen this relationship? Do I want you to actually hear what I have to say? Because maybe you're saying things and you're joking about them, but it wounds me every time you say them and it hurts my heart. And I feel dumb about it. I feel dumb that those things that you're saying, that I know you're joking, but it hurts me. And it makes me feel stupid that I'm even feeling this way. Oh, well, I didn't know that. You know, if you can say that in a way that they can actually hear it, instead of stop talking, like, I just hate it when you say it, like, then you're just going to fight. Timing and tone. Hey, when you're all snuggled up, drinking coffee, watching birds fly over the setting sun. Hey, honey. Yeah, honey. You know, the other day, there's a lot of other days. Which one? I love your sense of humor. You're such a good, that's one of the things I've always loved about you. You just always joke and just, you're out, you know, that's so fun. Yeah, you really like that? I really do. You know, sometimes, yeah. Now you got his attention. You know, sometimes you're doing so good. You're having fun and you're laughing. Sometimes you say stuff and it actually hurts my heart. Huh? Now he's listening. Probably can't do nothing about it because he's a guy and they're dumb. But you know what I mean? Like timing and tone. It's the same thing. We'll move on, or we're already not going to get through all this. Gosh. But this stuff is just, it's passionate to my heart, because just people are dorks sometimes, because we don't take time to learn this stuff. And I didn't learn it until way later in life, and I wish I would have known it earlier. That's why I get passionate about it. Rather than being rude, love acts with, this is just kind of reiterating what we were saying earlier, love acts with common courtesy. Come on, we can do this. The person who's loving and is not rude will be tactful, will be sensitive, will be gracious, considerate, thoughtful, and mannerly. Does that describe you on a scale of 1 to 10? How does that describe your life? If you're saying that you're walking in love. Now, if you're saying, you know what, I'm not walking in Christ-like love at all, then you don't have to answer that question. But if we're being scriptural, if we're following the Word of God, if we're growing in Christ, if I say that I'm walking in love, brother, how does that describe your life? Does it look a lot like your life, or does it not look anything like your life? Because if we're walking in love, it will be that. Well, you know what, I should just be able to, right. I know that, but that's not how love works, because love considers the other person. So are they in a state right now that, what's going on in their life? How many of our conversations would get off the ground a lot more if we just took 5 seconds and just stopped before we opened our mouth and said, all right, what are they going through right now? What's going on in their life? How, you know, what kind of mood are they in? Just, you would have like infinitely higher success rate in all of your conversations just right away. There's a couple slides from this website, and I just loved how they phrased some of this. Rudeness is finding more and more acceptance in today's culture. Agree or disagree? Oh, my. Public behavior and words that were unthinkable a generation ago are now commonplace. My goodness. We just did our big 5,000-mile trip out to Canada and East Coast and coming back. The things that we see on billboards and signs now that you used to find in special sections of stores, things that are out on, right, if you just want to be a heathen and do that stuff, go for it. Like, if you're not going to accept Christ, and if you're going to end up in eternity in hell, then go for it. Man, live it up, because that's all you're going to get. But don't put it on the billboard that I have to read it. Do you know what I mean? And it's been tough for us as a family, seeing some of that stuff, having to explain some stuff to our children. And, oh, sorry, kids, don't look over there. And it's crazy what people can say now and just think that it's okay. We live in what essayist Meryl Marcoux in the Wall Street Journal calls a renaissance of rudeness. The fact is, rudeness is rooted in selfishness. We've kind of talked about that a little bit. Read a bunch of articles. I didn't bring any and don't remember where they all were at, but probably half a dozen or so different articles over the last little bit, that it is becoming epidemic proportions in certain states of not being able to find referees for sports, because referees have to deal with coaches and parents. And the stuff that they deal with coaches and parents, has gone so far beyond anything. I mean, there's passion and, oh, wow, I said something and whatever and whatever. I mean, not everyone's thick-skinned like Patrick. You know, he can handle anything, you know, and he can't see anything. But he can't, you know, just, that's a rough joke. It's just, you know, have you heard that one before? Okay. That was rude. That was rude. You guys, see, I wanted to give you an example. That was rude. But they were just saying that you can't get people to be officials anymore because of just the intensity. People feel that if something's going on inside of them, it's their right to tell anyone and everyone what they think about it, and in no uncertain terms. And that just didn't, I mean, there always was intensity, you know, because we get it. There's emotions and we're hyped up for the game here, but it's just gone off the deep end. I mean, a little thing happens in traffic now and it's just, I mean, you're waiting for the guns to come out. Just, wow. And it's rooted in selfishness. I love this quote. This is from those same two slides. You'll see it again, but manners are meant to reduce the friction of human interaction. That's one of the things, as I was studying for this, that really started changing my mind on manners. Because I've not had great manners and didn't really think it was important. But I'm like, you know what? It's meant to just kind of, it's the oil, it's the lubricant that just kind of eases the friction. Because guess what? You're going to work with someone, you're going to live with someone, you know, be married to someone, you're going to have children, you're going to go to church with someone that's going to rub you a little bit, aren't you? Or no one's human here? Nobody? Okay. Some people in other churches that aren't perfect saints like you guys get their feelers hurt and they get all ruffled up about some things, and manners are kind of a buffer for that. Like, you might want to punch the guy in the head, but if he's saying please and thank you, you can at least smile at him, right? Like, it just, it helps ease some of the intensity sometimes. So manners are meant to reduce the friction of human interaction. Discourtesy reveals a lack of consideration for others. I'm aware and I don't care. The ill-mannered person is communicating that it's all about moi. Love, by contrast, cannot be selfish. By definition, it can't be selfish, for the simple reason that love is concerned for the other person's well-being. Therefore, love is mannerly. Goodness. That's so good. The art of politeness cannot be learned exclusively from books or etiquette. It comes from within. It's inspired by sympathy, and it is guided by a consideration for the feelings of others. And some of you, if you're not on board yet, at this point, you're going, oh, please. And I'm being serious. We're challenged in the Word of God to consider others. And if you don't like that, then you don't like the fundamental call of Christianity. You need to take it up with Jesus, not the preacher. Manner is also a means of expressing outwardly what's in the heart. Oofta. Oofta, oofta. Good manners or bad manners are a way of expressing what's in here. So if you're a self-centered turd, your manners are going to show it. And if Jesus is working in your heart to try to be considerate of others and take notice of what's going on around me and be kind, then that's going to show. It's going to be seen what's inside your heart. I love this quote. Rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. It's kind of this idea of just this arrogant guy. He's just, it's like, I always get a New York accent for some reason. Hey, yo, you know, kind of that, because New York's kind of like that. What are you looking at? You know, kind of just this, and it's this projection of strength, and yet Jesus told us that's not what strength is at all. And this is the last quote on rudeness. Read that. A rude reply stands ready on the lips of an unlovely life. That's powerful stuff. I don't want my life to be unlovely. Man, the whole reason I'm here, I want my life to be Christ-like. I want to be the fragrance of life. I want to be salt and light. I don't want to have an unlovely life, but if I refuse to take a look at my manners and my level of politeness and honestly my consideration of others, then that's what ends up happening. And I end up short-circuiting the image of Christ that is meant to be portrayed by my life just because of a little thing, you know, and maybe it's not little, but we feel like it's little in the scheme of things because I was just kind of rude. But I love Jesus. Well, it's not showing very well right now. And I think as Christ followers, if there's going to be low-hanging fruit that plops off the tree first, often it's going to be this one. If we're going to drop the ball somewhere, we often do it on this one. Because we just get upset with society or whatever, and politeness just tends to disappear. Oh, man. Can we go really fast? There's not many slides on these. The second part of that is it's not self-seeking. And we already kind of covered that. Rudeness has got its root in selfishness. And so these three things, that's why I want to cover them all at once, because they all fit right together. They're not separate things. They're really all nailed in one kind of a unit. Different versions say it doesn't demand its own way. Anybody out there? It is not self-seeking. It's not selfish. It's not selfish. It does not seek its own happiness exclusively or mainly. It does not seek to its own happiness to the injury of others. Like it's this idea of I want what I want, and it doesn't matter if you don't get what you want then. And obviously, we have to be concerned about ourselves. So there's a verse that we may or may not get to, but it's saying, like, you have to look out. You have to dress yourself. You got to buy clothes. You need to park somewhere. But if you're going to do it at the injury of other people, then you're being self-seeking. You see how that really just ties right into rudeness. Rudeness is kind of the outward expression of it. Self-seeking is really the inward character part of it. That's really what it's talking about. You guys ever heard of this phrase, pay it forward? I mean, it's just super popular. And everyone, Christian, non-Christian, I mean, everyone jumped on the bandwagon and was super excited. You had stories all the time about paying it forward. And what that is you know, maybe you're going to going to the car wash or something. I don't know. And you pay for your car wash and you pay for the guy behind you. And you're like, just tell them I'm paying it forward or whatever. And they get up to pay for it and it's already paid for. And they're like, what? And it's all cool. And everybody feels good about themselves. And why is that? Why was that so popular? It's because it's something that I can do that taps into what we would call common grace. And it's not necessarily in the Bible, but it's an idea that is scriptural. Like it rains on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Like there's the favor of God that you get to see even if you're not a Christ follower. And so people that aren't even Christians get to have warm fuzzies by doing God things, by doing love. And so they would just consider others. And they go, huh, that feels nice, even if they're not Christ followers. And everyone got really excited about that. We have these Y cards. They're called... And it's a group, and they put up a website, and we talked about it here in church a couple years ago. We went to a youth conference, and they handed out these Y cards, and it's just a black little card, and it says, why? And then on the back, it says, do you want to know why someone did something nice for you? And so what you're supposed to do is, they're evangelists, and they're like, we need to win people to Christ. And so they go out, and they go do something nice, and they say, and then just hand them a card when you're done or whatever, and then you walk away. And they look on the card, and they're like, that was really nice. Oh, do you want to know why someone did something nice? And there's a little website, and the first 1 minute is a little video just of the salvation message. This person probably did something nice for you today. It's because they're a new creation in Christ, and they asked Jesus to come into their life. You see, we're all sinners. You know, just in about 1 minute, just explains the gospel, and they've just got phenomenal stories. And so we did that. They're like, all right, all you youth groups, you go out and hand out your Y cards. And so everybody split up, and we got the kids. They all got their money out and handed it together, and we went through a drive-in, figured out how much we had and like, oh, that's enough. And, you know, paid for the order behind us. And the gal in the window could not stop smiling and talking about it. And so I'm sure the car behind us got blessed, but the gal in the window never saw anything. I don't know where she's been the last 10 years, but she had never heard of something like that before. She's like, well, what are you guys doing? And we're like, well, we asked if she could give them one of these cards. And she's like, oh, I'll do that. Absolutely. And we said, well, why don't you take another card and you can look for yourself. And it's just a short little video or whatever. But, you know, we're Christians and we love Jesus. And so we just wanted to pay for their stuff. And, whoa, that's the best thing that's happened to me all week. I can't wait to tell all my friends. And she's like, I can't believe I got to be a part of it. And she was just so excited. And that is so the opposite of self-seeking, isn't it? That's what love is. And some of these things we don't think is so bad until you contrast. So you just lay it out there and you contrast it with what real love is. And it just makes you want to slump your shoulders and go, oh, you're right. That is kind of bad. Love does not insist upon its rights. If it would, it would be the key to almost all the problems which surround us today if men would think less of their rights and more of their duties. This is older English stuff, but by duties, he's meaning duties to mankind, to be a good person is what he's talking about. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition, or do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as what? More important than yourselves. Like, just think if the church did that for like 1 week. How powerful is that? This is right out of scripture. And this is what I was saying. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. So he's saying, of course you have to feed yourself. You have to look out for your own interests. But don't merely look for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And how do we do that? Is regarding them as more important. Like, that's our attitude. is that you are more important than me. Wow. 1 Corinthians 10:24, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Last one. I think we're going to do this really fast. It is not provoked. It says, here's a long list of other versions. All right. Hopefully none of these describe you. It is not provoked. It is not irritable. What? It's not quick-tempered. Come on. It's not easily angered. It does not blaze out in passionate anger. I like that translation. It's not quick to take offense. Oh, come on. It's not touchy. Pastor, I was good till you got to the last one. I know. I understand. I'm right there with you. Real love is not touchy. It's not provoked. It's not easily angered. Real love does not make other people walk on eggshells when they're around you. Yes? It's not reactive. So many times, this is from Nancy Leigh DeMoss, who just always has thought-provoking things. So many times, the things that anger us and provoke us are not the things that are really wickedness, the things that anger God. They're the things that disturb my peace. They're the things that don't go my way. They're the things that annoy me and upset my agenda and my plans. That's what this is talking about. Don't be reactive to those kind of things. He's not saying don't be angry about, you know, unborn babies, you know, losing their lives or whatever. He's like, have a righteous anger about that kind of stuff. But if something's just annoying you, don't say, hey, it's just a holy anger here. No offense, but it's not. It's the things that don't go our way in life. It's the things that bother my peace. It's the things that annoy me. And I react to those. And if I'm walking in love, see, it like that reaction is powerful. And it takes something more powerful to offset that. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know what kind of sins love covers over? A multitude, but you know what else? It covers sins that some bonehead, don't say that, I mean, that's ungodly people would say that, but some guy does against you. That's the kind of sins love covers over. Someone steals your parking spot. Someone cuts in front of you in line. All right, I know I'm not supposed to be doing that stuff, but what happens when someone else does that stuff? This irritable, we talked a lot about these same kind of things when we talked about long-suffering. Not being provoked and being long-suffering, they're exactly the same thing. One is the internal, you know, this reactive, provoked, that's that one. And the long-suffering really is the length of time that you have to do that. It's two sides of the same kind of a dynamic. I really am feeling, when I'm provoked, I'm really feeling that my rights are being violated. Listen, I've got a right to be in front of you in line, and you cut in front of me, so now I'm right. I've got a right to peace and quiet. How dare you kids come running around with your little snot nose in your books and want me to read to you, right? How did he know that? Last one. Anger, bitterness, and resentment can never be mastered until I learn to become an unselfish person. It is a smart man or woman that soon accepts the fact of life that this world, everyone say this world is cursed by sin, and therefore it's not going to be perfect. In fact, often the world will seem to be working against us. So if you're going to get angry at every time that that happens, you are not going to be a loving example of what Jesus Christ wants to see in this world. If you're waiting for, well, it's just I've had a lot of stuff happen this week. There's always going to be stuff happening. We've got to take charge of our character and not try to take charge of the world out there. We've got to worry about, like Stephen said this morning, what's going on in here. And love, if we're going to describe it, is not this easily reactive, easily angered, easily provoked kind of thing, because if I'm self-seeking, the one right before this, that means I'm easily angered because I always want my way. And when things don't go my way, guess what happens? I get angry. And what happens when I get angry? I get rude. It all kind of ties together. And what you see over and over again is love is the opposite of selfishness. All of this stuff, no matter how you boil it down, it comes down to me, 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 me? Is it about you and Jesus, or is it about me? That's the question that I'm answering. I'm done with this. That's the question that we're answering every moment in our lives. Is this moment in my life about you and Jesus that I get to be a part of and bring some good into, bring some gift into, bring some help into, bring some enjoyment from, or is it about me? Is it about you and Jesus, or is it about me? And we're honestly answering that question, whether you like it or not, throughout the day, over and over and over and over. When you're touching noses with your spouse and it's not greeting, and there's anger in your eyebrows, is that your face? Get it? I'm painting a picture, and some of you aren't catching on, but I'm sorry. You're kind of really angry. What's more important? Like, we have to have these dialogues. You can't. Relationships will crumble if you don't talk about things. So you have to have these. How do we do them in a way that's healthy and loving and looks like Christ? What's going on in this moment? Is it about me, or is it about you and Jesus? And God challenges us over and over in the Word that if you're going to follow me, it's not about you. Let's start with an easy one as we close. Okay, this could be rude, but we're going to give you a baby step. Look at someone, say, it's not about you. Okay, we'll let you just live with an easy one. That's an easy one. We can all do that one. All right, now the hard one. It's not, say it, it's not about me. Yes, that was less enthusiastic, but more true. Yeah, let's pray. God, we just thank you for such a beautiful day today, and we just thank you for, God, this hard and challenging word, God, that just gets to the core of our self-centeredness that wants to always be about me. Help us to take comfort in knowing that we're not in this alone. Everyone in this room deals with the exact same thing in different measures and different ways. And Lord, I just pray for the grace of God to just soften our rough edges and, Lord, just impart grace into our spirits, Lord, to walk this out. If we're supposed to be walking in love, let it look like real love, God. Help us to have these deep, real, and difficult heart changes that we need to have to consider others first and to put you first in our life, Jesus. And we just pray for grace and blessings on our week. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.